or some prayer time together that is always powerful and important. I've got a couple that I'd like to bring to your attention. First of all, David McNeil's brother, Linda's brother-in-law, LD, had the triple bypass. Linda just said that he's home. And as far as the operation itself, was successful. And now it's a recovery and see if everything's going to take. Okay. I don't know how many of you remember, those of you that were with us, some time ago, we had just a wonderful man here leading the singing and a powerful attitude, David Thompson. I wanted David and Sue to be a part of the whole deal and that pain and things, but the Board of Deacons to the man said no. And so David had to go on, and so he moved out of the state and took another church. And he was willing to come here for a lot less than what this other church was offering. But he has kept up with the understanding of spirituality by faith. And just really appreciate David. Well, his wife has been diagnosed with breast cancer. And they're trying to decide what to do, the severity of it. And he'd just like us to be in prayer. And for, you know, what God is doing. And then for his wife and her soul, and related to these things. Remember again, seems like a lot of these we're in prayer. Seems like almost every, not all of them, but almost are dealing with the body. God really gets our attention. I guess there's just really not much closer to us than our own body if He wants to get our attention. And so be in prayer for Susan and. And, you know, he was saying some days, with her permission, just very good, and the faith is very stable, and then other days, not so. And I jokingly said, you know, well, just don't let her look in the mirror those days, and I'm sure those kind of the things that weigh heavy on us. So, wonderful people, and let's be in prayer for David and Susan and the family, and in regard to which direction they ought to go with the treatment. And so please be in prayer for them. Be in prayer for Vic Edwards up in Wichita Falls. And be in prayer for him and his family. He's still going through some sickness and illnesses. So please be in prayer. Also be prayer for the believers up in Hot Springs. I'll be going up there this weekend to fellowship with them in the Word. So please bear them in your prayers. In prayer for David, our own David, as he continues to work through things and getting his own body into good shape. And do you have any other prayer requests? How's your mom and dad doing? Oh, yes. My goodness, what am I doing? Go ahead,
yeah,
please.
Mom and dad are doing the
same. In prayer for the family.
Okay.
All right. Let's be in prayer for the family, that it basically, one, be used as an opportunity of the gospel of our Savior. And and that Ron and Ben will have the opportunity, and even Tish, just to go to the funeral in regard to witnessing and to regard to the gospel. So please bear that in mind. And, yeah, so thank you. Yes. Good. The gospel and okay. So sometimes we're gonna tomorrow evening. I hope you're able to make it. We're gonna have a very important take a little trip tomorrow evening in our study. But sometimes our composure, and we look back at it, tells us a whole lot. If we have that, if the Holy Spirit works on us, we can look back and, no, I can't go back and take it back. But the Holy Spirit can certainly use it to as far as our spiritual life. So yeah, we'll be in prayer, definitely. All right, any other prayers? Yes. Good. Thank you. All right. So continue to be in prayer for you're going to be in prayer for him. And so, any other prayer requests? Be in prayer for Kathy as she just moved here and getting a job and things like that. And her son adjusting to the environment here in Dallas and the church and home. So please be in prayer. Continue to be in prayer for Paul Hess. And we've talked about that. And we just need to be in prayer for each other in so many different ways. And and I could name every one of us. And we need prayer. We're in prayer for Larry Thompson down here and starting up a new business. And these are the kinds of things, again, start up a new business, what God is leading, what God is doing. We talked about you kindly before when you're not here, but just that God's will, God will direct him and give him that peace of what God is doing in his life. Continue to be in prayer for Joe Rodriguez. I don't want to get into belaboring and things, but he's going through just tremendous suffering, tremendous testing, tremendous opportunity of seeing what God is doing in his life and getting his attention in so many different ways. So be in prayer for Joe Rodriguez this time. Be in prayer for Susan as she looks for a job and gets through things working with her family. We all need our prayers. We need to be in prayer for each other. And John Harvey, and we share with him the battle he's going through. So let's just continue to be in prayer for each other, because we know you're walking by faith and in this battle. Talked to one of our members in California, and she found a small church about the size of this one, and the pastor becomes discouraged, and she is... he uses us as just a very strong encouragement to him. And he's like David. I appreciate David, because when Abigail spoke with David, and she did it in the right way, she didn't come out and try to teach him publicly and all, but and then also the husband and wife that taught Stephen the spirit-filled life, and Stephen was not arrogant and humble spirit, and therefore listened and learned about the spirit-filled life from a woman. And this pastor is learning a lot from Eleanor Baker, whom you talk with. And so just continue to be in prayer, of course, for other pastors that are teaching these things and in the battle. Any other requests? Okay, let's approach the throne of grace together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be able to come before the throne of grace together in prayer and let our requests be made known corporately to you. We are in fervent prayer, Heavenly Father, for one another in the battle of faith and fulfilling, Heavenly Father, our mission, our journey that transports us, Heavenly Father, from coming out of the flesh as babies in Christ to being transformed into the very image of our Savior. And there are so many things that have to happen in that journey, it seems, Father, to bring us to that point, to understand. And sometimes this journey involves the most severe of adversity to focus our attention on our inadequacy and the adequacy that comes by your Spirit. And now, Father, as we turn to the Scripture, we pray that your Spirit will open up the truth to us. Your Word makes it very clear that there are many different ways of seeing what is said in the Scripture. Basically two, Heavenly Father, but we pray that tonight your Spirit will illuminate for us the knowing of our Savior and the impact of that in every area of our life. To this end, Father, we do humbly pray in Christ's name. Amen. We have been inundated for the last many days, paper, radio, television, news with the family. It seems like there's always something going on with in regard to the family. I want to comment on a few things. I feel it's my responsibility as a shepherd of this assembly to, when something is that prominent, to deal with some of the things. We have discussed some of the issues that the massive influence of the Promise Keepers movement, the whole foundation of building a marriage on promises, to me is greatly in contrast with what I see in Scripture. And also the issue we've seen of our message to be Christ crucified. But I want to deal with some of the more specific messages, get more specific in this thing. Two primary things that have been written up, both in the paper, television, and even hearing them, their people, in dealing with the marriage, the family, say that when I hear it, it just causes great pain inside of me, and I want to address it. Now, the primary thing that I want to address is it came across so often with these people, with these men, and I want to ask this in three different directions, in three different ways. First of all, in dealing with what kind of husband and wife you are, and I understand when I put this up here, I'm putting it, I want to be. Okay, I want to be the kind of husband, and I'm going to talk about wife. The main emphasis has been on the husband, but I want to talk about both. I want to be the kind of husband and wife I want to be. And then the second choice, and the one that has been greatly espoused over the last several days, I want to be the kind of husband, wife, they. In other words, the husband, the woman. I want to be the kind of husband my wife wants me to be. I want to be the kind of wife my husband wants me to be. Alright? This is what has been greatly pushed. We want to be the kind of husband our wife needs, the kind of husband our wife wants. There's a third alternative. I want to be the kind of husband and wife that the Lord wants me to be. Those are your three choices. And each gets to decide which you want. Now, let's look at alternative one. Alternative one is most desirable to the husband and to the wife, that I want to be. That means I set the standards, I determine, and it is according to my desires what I want. And he is just going to have to submit to that and adjust to that and accept it. That's the way I am. That's the kind of husband I am. That's the kind of wife I am. I think we can all understand that that one's not going to cut it. But I just want you to understand, if you choose number one, it's very appealing. And I'd also want to comment that there are a great number of husbands and wives that, though they would not articulate it that way, they live it that way. Though they may not be so brave, except maybe in a locker room with some other knuckleheads that think the same way, they would probably never express it in open words. But they live that in their reference to their husband and wife. I'm going to be the kind of husband I want to be. I will determine what kind of husband I'm going to be. I will be the kind of wife I want to be. Now there's a second alternative, the one that has been greatly pushed. Now, on the surface, number two sounds good. It sounds very giving, very emptying of myself. I want to be the kind of husband my wife wants me to be. I want to be the kind of wife my husband wants me to be, the kind of husband my wife wants me to be. and I'll let that's what I want to be. And it sounds good. It's very easy to be charmed into that. I like that Paul's word in Galatians 3:1, who has charmed you. It sounds very good. We want everybody to be the kind of husband your wife wants you to be. But that has a lot of problems. That has a lot of problems. She sets the standard. She makes the decisions according to her desires and what she wants. And the man becomes the slave. And it has a great number of problems. Now, let's look at number 3. And I hope everyone here understands number 3 is it. And this is the way we ought to think. People, you know, and this is why I'm not going to make this an ongoing thing here. It's tonight. We're going to talk about this tonight. Boy, you really are. You're really nitpicking these people. People, this is a major campaign that has moved across our country, moved into churches, moved into seminaries. It has put itself up as representing God, and it doesn't. I'm sorry. For many reasons. And even just giving this idea, this right here is the thought, the thinking. I want you just to, first of all, before I go any further, just note the difference in the way I say, let's forget number 1. We all know that's out. Like it or not. And again, when I say it's out, I don't mean that people don't do it. I think a great number of husbands and a great number of wives live by number 1. I really do. But I think if we're going to talk about it, let's talk about these two. And we talk about, just think of the way you think in your marital, day-by-day relationship between 1 and 2. I want to be the kind of husband my wife wants me to be. Therefore, my thought process on me as a husband, me as a wife, is on that other person. As opposed to, my thought process is on my relationship with the Lord in dealing with someone else. People, all I want to say at this major point is, do you see what it does to your thought process? Does that communicate to you? How, if you go with number 2, you're thinking of the other person. Whereas if you go with number 3, you're thinking of the perfect person, the God-man, your Savior, Jesus Christ. You're thinking of Him. I want to be the kind of husband to my wife the Lord wants me to be. I want to be the kind of wife to my husband the Lord wants me to be. Now, if it's number 3, look at the person who's setting the standard. It's the perfect God-man. It's the Son of God. It's the eternal God who knows His whole plan from the first universe to the last universe. And where my marriage fits in to this whole grand thing going on in the 3 universes. It's that dramatic. I think marriages are important. And they fit into this God's grand strategy on the 3, the first universe and the first war, battle, God and angels, then the second universe, the one we're in, and the future universe, eternity future. Okay, so I'm having the one who connects all 3 of these universes is the one that's going to set the standard and the decisions, and he's going to do it, and watch this, he's going to do it not for my glory and not for even the glory of my spouse. He's going to do it for His glory. So, the first thing we have to do is make a decision, where does Christ fit into my marriage? Where does the Lord fit? I decrease, He increased statement. It's a fundamental decision about the Lord in your life. This is a fundamental decision about your spouse in your life. 1 and 2 are a fundamental decision about you and your spouse. Number 3 is a fundamental decision about a third person and that third person's influence in my marriage. So, I don't think this is a matter of picking hairs. I think this is a very essential matter that it determines the way I think in my marriage. Because if I use this one, and let's face it, there's going to be, she's wrong, there's going to be a reaction. He's wrong, there's going to be a reaction. This one, it's him. It's the Lord, my Savior, my Master. And then another thing. If both desire to live the spirit-filled life, then this is what the other wants. I want my husband to be the kind of husband the Lord wants him to be. I want my wife to be the kind of wife he wants her to be. What am I saying? I'm saying this. When you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, did you know everything you needed? Anybody out there? Did you know? No. He gave us a package of good things with the gospel. Things I didn't even know about. Had no idea of the Holy Spirit indwelling. And now I'm at a little disadvantage as a little kid. I mean, one thing. I don't want to go to hell and burn. That's it. Boom. That's good. That would have been good enough. And he said, no, I got a whole bunch more. Among those, I got a spiritual gift for you. And boy, is that taking its journey. So I've got all these things. Things I wasn't even aware that I needed. Now, as a believer, when we walk in the Spirit, we ourselves are walking in the Spirit by faith. Do you know everything you need and what's good for you day in and day out as you walk in the Spirit? No, if you're honest, I don't. But He does. And if I'm walking in the Spirit, that's what's going to happen. So, what I'm saying here is, if my husband is the kind of husband the Lord wants him to be, if my wife is the kind of wife the Lord wants her to be, that's what I'm going to need. If I get to choose and control, I'm going to mess things up. Because there's going to be times that I'm going to want him to be the kind of husband, I want her to be the kind of wife, that is not going to be good. Not in the long run. But if I'm not the issue, and the Lord is the issue in their life, that's the kind of wife and that's the kind of husband they're going to be. And that's what I will need. That's why He brought her to me and me to her. It's that very thing. He knows. Next is He, our Lord, provides the power to be the kind of husband He wants me to be. He provides the power to be the kind of wife He wants me to be. He will lead me. He will lead me. He will provide. I want you to be this kind of husband, this kind of wife, and I will give you the power and the direction and guide you. In the most wonderful of times, day in and day, in the most boring of times, and in the most severe testing of times, I will guide you to be the kind of husband that she needs, to be the kind of wife she needs. If this is what I want, I want to be the husband the Lord wants. I want to be the wife the Lord wants. These are two entirely different statements. And they do so much to my whole thinking about myself and my marriage and my spouse. Changes the whole kind of richness of the marriage. Next is, if I'm the kind of husband the Lord wants me to be, if I'm the kind of wife the Lord wants me to be, if they want me to be the kind of husband the Lord wants me to be, and if he wants me to be the kind of wife the Lord wants me to be, then guess what? It will be pleasing to each other. It will be pleasing to each other. You will please me if you're the kind of husband the Lord wants you to be. That means I may not always even understand. It will please me if you're the kind of wife the Lord wants you to be. And sometimes I may not even understand. But if we're both going to walk by the Spirit, both going to walk by faith, and you're the kind of wife and you're the kind of husband, then this pleases me. This is what is going to please me in this relationship, if both seek to please the Lord. If I seek to please the Lord, if you seek to please the Lord, then being the husband and wife that God wants you to be, the Lord wants you to be, that will be pleasing to each other. So this is the one that is going to glorify the Lord. First and foremost. And, you know, I like to remind people, you don't have to get married in church. There's nothing sanctimonious about being married in a church. Justice of the peace can do it just as well. But when people do want to come and have the Lord be part of it, as you know, I've changed my whole marriage ceremony. And what we're doing when we do that, we're saying is, this is for the glory of the Lord here. This is not for my glory. It's not for my glory. This is for His glory. And one of the most wonderful things about our Savior is that it pleases us if it works to His glory. That's one of the wonderful things that He has given to us. This is also a marriage that is glory to the Lord. It's also a marriage that does this. The kind of husband-wife they want me to be is accomplished in this one if both are seeking to please the Lord. You see what I'm trying to say here? That this one will be accomplished if this is my objective. And as a matter of fact, this one is accomplished if I'm walking in the Spirit and want to please Him. But the reverse of those is not true. One and two do not happen. To number three, if I choose one and two, number three does not happen. But if I choose number three, number one and two become a reality in the spiritual realm. Also, number three gives preference to one another. Number three means that the husband, all those things we're studying on Wednesday night, the husband has all those things that gives preference, considers, cares, serves, builds up, edifies, and vice versa. The woman does all these things if we're doing this one. If I want to be the kind of husband and wife the Lord wants me to be. Not all the time, but most of the time, it's really easy to see, too. If you know that the greatest manifestation of faith, what is the greatest manifestation of faith? Spiritual life. Nothing else matters but faith expressing itself in love. Okay, I can see this. Not every time, but most of the time, people, all you have to do is look. I don't need her. I don't need him to tell me. I need to take a look. I'm not the kind of husband here, the Lord. The way I just spoke, the way I just dealt with this, the way I just acted, love doesn't act unbecoming. The way I just hurt them, the way I did this or that. Nobody needs to tell me if this is the one I want. I can stand back and take a look. That is not the kind of husband. What I just did, what I just said, what I just didn't do, and I might even have to add what I didn't say, I know. That didn't come from the Lord. I know what kind of husband the Lord when I'm walking in the power of the Spirit. And I did not see this happening in my life, in my marriage. Somebody needs to tell me. Hon, what do you want me to be? Hon, what do you want me to be? What do you want? What kind of husband do you want? What kind of wife? Now, Lord, what do you want? And you guide me. And you produce it. You produce it in me. And this becomes a great battle of faith. Do you really believe that the Lord will do that? Do you really believe the Spirit will do that? That's our whole battle. No, I think you got to make 50 points down here and work on being the right kind of husband. I think you got to make 9 promises and work on those. And I think you got to do all of this. Or do I believe that if I walk in the Spirit, He will lead me and empower me to be the kind of husband and wife they want me to be? That's a great battle of where we are in this thing. But just getting back in the day in and day out relationship, I can listen to the way I speak to her. I can listen to the way I speak to him. I can watch the way I act, the way I don't act. I know whether or not I'm being the husband, the wife that the Lord wants me to be. I can just watch and listen to myself. They don't even have to tell me. If I'm doing this for the Lord, if I want to be the kind of husband and wife the Lord wants me to be, they don't even need to tell me. But you see, this means that moment by moment, I've got to have that walk. Moment by moment, I've got to be in that faith relationship. This is why we walk by faith, because it's a moment by moment thing. It's not salvation one is a one-shot faith. Boom, we're in. But living a spiritual life is a battle, because you have to be on red alert, faith alert, every minute. And you can tell in a marriage when you're not. You can tell in a marriage when you are. I've used the example, and it just seems befitting to say it. When you're a bachelor, sometimes I think, well, I'm doing really good, and fine, get up, you know, maybe. So, and I just drive out of the driveway, and somebody pulls out in front of me in the alley. Ah! I go, whoa, where did that come from? Well, I didn't even know where I was until something had that interaction with people. By this, all will know that you're mine if you love one another. It's that interaction relationship. Okay, people that are married have it much sooner than when they get into the driveway. Much, much sooner. They have it probably from the moment you open your eyes. What do you know with all the cover? Right, you have it right away. And you can just look at yourself. The way I'm thinking, the way I'm talking, the way I'm acting, is that the kind of husband, wife the Lord wants me to be? So it becomes, it just is a whole different issue. This is the one right here, number three. This is the one where the wife gladly submits in the power of the Spirit to the authority of her husband. This is the one in the power of the Spirit where the husband loves with his spiritual life. This is the one where so many things that we want to understand about a human relationship. People, I don't need to write 50 things here and 50 things for a good husband and 50 things for a good wife. I need to understand what spiritual love is and watch this and all those things that we're studying in one another. Be kind to one another. Support one another. Encourage one another. Give preference to one another. All of these one another's in this relationship, this is the direction of what kind of wife, what kind of husband I want you to be. This is the one that is a result of the spiritual life. This is the one, again, that is going to glorify Him. This is the one where spiritual love lives in the marriage. It's actually the momentum of the marriage. It's when I want to be this kind of husband, this kind of wife. Another thing that I heard is this: hard work. Yes, and you know, when I heard that, I went, no, and I went, yes. If I've got promises that I've got to keep, I'm building it on all of these things, and I've got to watch my step and all hold and control each other and be the kind of wife they want and be the kind of husband they want and all this kind of stuff. Boy, that is hard work. You better bet it is. But is hard work the way we're told to live the Christian life? No. This has always been, and people, it's very appealing to the flesh. This is very appealing to the flesh. This is very appealing to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is very appealing to the American idea. You work hard and you're benefited by it. Work real hard and you make good grades. Work real hard and you'll get that American dream. A little house with a white picket fence with rose bushes and a happy marriage and three wonderful children. Wah, wah, wah. Work hard and it'll all happen wrong. And that garbage is one of the reasons America's hurting today. Because I thought this was a promise. I thought this was the way it was. If I worked hard, it would come out all right. And man, I worked hard and we're getting a divorce. I worked hard and this is happening. And it just isn't right. This is what it's sold. Work hard. Having a good marriage is working hard. Whereas in the scriptures, rest. The work that God wants you to do is to trust, have that faith in the one whom He has sent. This is the work that God wants you to do. He wants you to work real hard at resting. And then the marriage becomes fun. The husband and wife are not nagging at each other because, let me tell you something, it isn't the woman that's telling you to give her preference. It isn't the man that's telling you to submit. Who is it? It's the Lord. And if I want to be mad at somebody and angry at somebody, it's not going to be her or him. Because she didn't set this. I decided I wanted to be the kind of husband and wife the Lord wanted me to be. So here we have my relationship with the Lord over here, and here's my relationship with my spouse. This one's very calm, always. If I'm going to wrestle and fight at all, it's going to be over here. If we're really honest with this thing. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to put a good preference to him. The bum doesn't deserve it. I don't want to give preference to her. I don't want to edify. I don't want to build. What about me? Me! And so we wrestle over here. Well, over here, we're not attacking and beating up each other. But if I go to number one or two, there's always going to be a battle with each other and blaming each other and resenting each other. People don't resent each other. Resent the Lord. If you decide you want to be the husband and wife that the Lord wants you to be, then you have resentment of the Lord. And don't you dare resent her or him. It's a powerful thing He's given us. What did we learn in Genesis? This whole thing of working hard. Children of Israel want to go out and have 3 days of R&R. Going to do some worship, going to do some fun and festivities. What was Pharaoh's reply? Anybody remember? Work harder. Work harder. Make more bricks. Do more straw. Get more mud. Make more bricks. Work harder. Work harder. This is Satan's philosophy. This is right from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This is always Satan's view. Work harder and you can accomplish it. Diametrically opposed to the gospel. The gospel says, rest. Let me be the work. Let me do it through you in you. Work hard. Boy, it's hard work. No wonder people are getting divorces and no wonder people are having trouble. No wonder people are walking on law. No wonder they're not having fun in a marriage, in their sex life, in their social life, in their finance, in their church, in every area of their life. They're too busy working hard. Not going to have fun doing that. But when you walk by faith, resting in the Lord, in this case, resting in the Spirit whom He has sent to us, you can have a wonderful time on this trip. Have a wonderful time in your married life, sexually, socially, when you're alone, when you're with people, as in your assembly, social life, every area, because He's doing it in you. So we have these kinds of things we need to just this sounds so good. People, this is one of the greatest charms away from truth. Work hard is a great way to be charmed. It's one of who has charmed you, Paul says, away from life of faith. It's being charmed. Work hard, it sounds right. Boy, if I work hard, I'll get this done. The harder I work, the more I learn. I just gotta learn more. I've got to work hard on being more righteous. I've got to work hard on getting the Spirit. Better book by a black pastor. He went through a lot of things to get to the Lord. And one of his trips was in the charismatic movement. And he met this black lady and young lady, and really wanted to go out with her. So, you know, he said, well, she said, you go out, you know, but we got to talk to my dad. We talked to her dad, who was a charismatic preacher. And the preacher said, well, you can take my daughter if you get the Spirit. And so he said, okay, how do I get the Spirit? So Father told him, come tonight at this meeting. So he went that night. It was one of the tent meetings in town. True story. And so he said, he got there, and she was right at the front row, so he was down the front row, and he said he was there, and he really dressed up. He said, I wore, you know, my $250 suit, which is a lot of money to him, and my Stacy Adams shoes and all this stuff, and really decked out. And he said, first thing I know, man, they're screaming and shouting, and I look around, and they're standing up, and hands up in the air, and he said, okay, I'll do that. And so he got up and started screaming and shouting, rose his hands in, and Dad was the preacher, came running by, and he said, do I have the Spirit yet? And the preacher said, no, not yet. And he said, okay, I'll work harder. The preacher said, work harder. So pretty soon you see some people rolling around. He said, okay, this is it. So he said, I got down, I rolled around on the floor, and I was kicking up the sawdust that was on the floor and all this stuff. And the preacher came by, and he said, do I have the Spirit yet? And the dad said, no, not yet. You just keep working harder. He said, I decided right there I'm never going to get that Spirit. He said, I've ruined the $250 suit, I've ruined my shoes, and if I don't have the Spirit by now, I'm never going to get it. He said, I got up and walked out. And that was just one of his stories of the journey that he was on in getting to the spirit-filled life. Work hard. Work hard to learn doctrine, and work hard to be good, and work hard to do this, and work hard to be a good husband, and work hard to be a good wife. When the gospel message, people, is the absolute opposite. The gospel message is just the opposite. Rest. I'll do it. Trust me. I'll make you the best husband to that woman. I will make you the best wife to that man if you will walk in my spirit. Trust me. And this comes down, do we believe it or not? Or do we have to work real hard because marriages are falling apart, so I've got to work real hard. I didn't work hard enough on the first one. I'm going to work real hard on the second one. But I'm going to work even harder on the third one. And so forth. And you don't have the message of the gospel. No, I want you to do rest. Trust me. I'll do it. So I just want to share with you some of these things, and in dealing with the things we've been reading and hearing, my responsibility. It's been a long time since we've studied marriage and directly. I think indirectly we study it in nearly everything that we're studying. To be the husband, to be the wife that the Lord wants me to be, one of the things the Holy Spirit is going to do in making me the husband and the wife that the Lord wants me to be, if that truly is my desire, one of the things that the Holy Spirit is going to do, people, is going to take you on a journey through your whole life in, watch this, very important. He's going to take you on a journey. I want to be the husband, I want to be the wife that the Lord wants me to be. The Holy Spirit is going to take you on a journey through your whole life of knowing the Lord. I thought I had to know her. I thought I had to know him. Now, see, when I do this, don't walk out of here and overreact. Well, it means you don't even have to know each other and all that. People, don't do that to me. The Holy Spirit is going to give you an understanding of the husband and the wife. Stay with where I'm coming from in this. Now, if you want to be a critic, find your objections and go with it. But if you're open and your ears are listening, what the Holy Spirit is going to do, he's going to take us on this journey of knowing the Lord. And the more I learn how the Lord loves me, that's how I love my husband and wife. See what I'm saying? It's not a matter of learning more in an isolated vacuum here. It isn't about learning about her. It isn't about learning about him. And then, as I think I've shared with you before, that's going to be the Herculean task, because he's always changing, and he never does change, you know. And it just you're on the wrong road, because what she like, and ladies, I'm not, you know, people are so hypersensitive. You can't do anything anymore, say anything. But it's just, she's not going to be the same tomorrow she was yesterday. And what she wanted yesterday, she doesn't want today. And you're going to walk around just, you know, I'm trying hard here, honey. I'm working hard. But you're just changing. Okay. Huh? Yeah. And you're just always doing this. And the same thing the man to the lady to the man. Okay, watch this. The more I learn how he loves me, and I love you that way. Now you're talking about love. Now you're talking about showing preference. He showed preference to you? You bet he did. He died on the cross for you. He gave you preference over his own safety. He gave you preference over his own glory. He put himself on a shameful cross for you. Boy, I now know what love is. I know what it means to preference. Kind. He's kind. He didn't give me what I deserved. He's kind. He comes to me when I need him most. He's kind. I don't ever have to run from him when I've done something wrong against him. I run to him. That's the kind of husband I want to be. That's the kind of wife I want to be. And you will in the power of the Spirit. So he's going to take you on this journey. And the journey is not 20 books about women and 20 books about men. It's not 20 books about the woman's body and 20 books about the man's body. It's not 20 books about the changes that a woman goes through and that a man goes through. It's not about any of that kind of stuff. It's about learning about me. And you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask me, every husband and wife has to ask himself, do I really believe this? Do I believe that the more that I come to know and understand about the Lord and how the Lord loved me, that'll make me a better husband and a better wife if I put this into pursuit and love as he loved me? Do I really believe that? Or do I, well, okay, but I really need to concentrate on them? What do you really believe? Do I really believe that this journey that I'm going on and learning more and more about my Savior, more and more about him, that that's going to make me a better husband and a better wife? Now, I'm assuming that we live that in the spiritual life in our marriage, what we learn about the Lord. So I'm in the Spirit, and he guides me. He's going to take me. You want to learn how to be a better husband? Boom, I'm going to take you on a journey. I'm going to show you the Lord. You want to learn how to be a better wife? Good. I'm going to take you on a journey, on some little journey. I'm going to take you specifically, and you're going to learn something about the Lord you didn't know before you decided you wanted to. Because I want to show you something about you and the Lord. And if you'll understand it between you and the Lord, then you're going to understand it between the husband and the wife. So sometimes we're taken on a journey that really, in our mind, has nothing to do with our marriage. It's a spiritual thing. But you know what the journey's about? The journey's about the marriage. Because you wanted to be a better husband or wife. Okay, then I want you to learn something about the Lord you didn't know. I want something about the Lord to just come and smack you straight on so that you see it as you've never seen it before. And when I take you on that journey, then you're going to come back here and you're going to go, wow, now I know how to love you. I know what they need here. And people, that's our whole life. It takes us on these journeys and learning about our Savior. And every journey, every suffering, every crisis, sin, suffering I can't explain, we'll deal with that tomorrow night, all these things, they're wonderful things if we allow them to be. Because they bring us to this relationship here, and this is going to have an effect here. So sometimes you say, boy, Father, in my prayer, I want to be the kind of husband, I want to be the kind of wife you want me to be. And the Holy Spirit says, fine. And you tell you something about the Lord. You go, no, I don't want to know about the Lord. I want to know how to be a better husband. No, no, I don't want the spiritual thing right now. What I want, Pastor, I want you to do a series on how a man ought to treat a woman. I want you to do a series on how a woman ought to treat a man. I want this. This is what I want. I don't want to hear something about the Lord here. I know the spiritual stuff, and I know about my Savior, and I don't need that right now. I want you to give me 5 points. I want you to deal with me on this. And you don't understand. The Holy Spirit's taking you on a journey that if you learn this, and you have it here, you'll have this answered. The answer is always with my relationship with the Lord. For the answer is always. We're going to see this tomorrow night. Understanding the phenomenon, the things that happen in your life. How to evaluate and what to deal. Children, ourselves, whatever the case may be. So we have to make up our mind. It's closing this up now. I didn't mean to take our whole time this evening with this, but I don't care. I'm glad I did. But you get to decide now what you want. You get to decide, you want to be the kind of husband and wife I want to be, kind of husband and wife they want me to be, and again, this has a lot of charm appeal to it. This has a lot of appeal. The charm is the way, and it sounds good until you see this one. This sounds good until you see this one. When you see this one, now this isn't it either. It's kind of like, Ishmael looks good until you see Isaac. And once you see Isaac, then you see the truth. This one looks good until you see this one. And I hope this works with every one of you. Once you see this one, I want to be the kind of husband and wife the Lord wants me to be. Then all these other things fit in. It has unbelievable impact right here. And then the second major thing I want you to walk away at the top of your thinking with the Spirit, this whole idea of working hard for this marriage. He didn't put that kind of burden on you, people. He didn't put that kind of burden to go work real hard and have this great marriage. He didn't do that. He said, rest. Rest in me, and I'll do it, and you'll have a great marriage. Doesn't mean it won't have its testing. Doesn't mean it won't have suffering. But when we're walking in the Spirit, you'll be the husband and wife the Lord wants you to be. So the journey then is a journey of knowing Him. Now, this is where I want it to be through by about 8:15, in the next 15 minutes now, with our next what? Knowing about the Lord. And we're going to lose a little impact when I come back next Tuesday, but it's knowing about the Lord. And what we're going to do is just to let you know what we're going to study next week, because this is where I would go next, is knowing the Lord as the shepherd of your soul. And if we know the Lord as the shepherd of your soul, learning things about the Lord, what kind of shepherd is the Lord? What does that mean, He's the shepherd and guardian of my soul? What does that do with my personal, intimate relationship with the Lord? And this is what we're going to look at next Tuesday night. Just another way of knowing the Lord. And we decided we should not have time to study all of the ways of knowing the Lord, but we're going to know some of the biggies. And this is where we're going to go next, knowing the Lord as a shepherd, the great shepherd of your life. And I'll probably, with this motif, momentum going, just bring in a little bit. The more you understand this, then you'll relate to husband and wife in a wonderful way. If we understand this one, if we understand knowing Him. This is the way I know the Lord. This is the way I relate with the Lord. This is the way the Lord relates to me. He's a shepherd in my life. And I have that kind of relationship with Him. I think of Him this way. And He thinks of me this way. And we'll see the impact this can have in our intimacy with Christ, and then our intimacy with others. Because the more I understand about the Lord, the better husband and wife I will be in the power of the Spirit. Closing the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the Holy Scriptures. And how grateful we are for your Spirit whom you've given to us to illuminate the Scriptures to us. Being the kind of husband and wife that our spouse desires us to be sounds very appealing. But when we put it next to being the kind of husband and wife that you desire us to be, it becomes very weak. And this one becomes the desire of our soul. marriage, Heavenly Father, is an area of great blessing and great testing and suffering. It can be an area, Father, of support and encouragement. It can be an area of pure hell on earth. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, that we desire to be the spouse that you desire us to be, and that we will be as we walk in the Spirit, and as we become more and more aware of how our shepherd loved us, how your Son loved us, and we love in turn. Father, we praise you that you're a God who cares about our marriages. You care about our family and our home. But that means so much to you too. And that you have made all these provisions for us. So Father, our real battle is not a battle of being a husband or wife. Our real battle is just walking by faith in the Spirit of the living God. Father, we praise you in our great shepherd's name. Amen.